Dean, what motivated you in the first instance to become interested and involved in Israel? The initial motivation.
I think it was my mother. Although she used to talk a little bit about the pogroms in Russia, and she was a very caring person. My mother was one of the first women drivers in Donora. In about 1929, she was driving a car that used to crank up, I think. And she was the sick and poor committee of the sisterhood, and she used to deliver food baskets, and I would go with her. And I remember it very well. Sometimes it was icy and the cars were terrible, and she drove and we went. And the other thing was that shlichim used to come for money. They came to Donora, and my mother always had some. We were not wealthy, but she always had some money for them. And when I was married and lived three doors away, she used to send them over to me. So I think as far as being charitable and caring, I got that from her.
What about your husband's attitude toward Israel? Was he
was very
enthused?
He was.
Vocal.
He really was. But he was struggling to make a living, and so busy between making that living and giving his spare time to the army. I don't know whether we made one or two. One for sure I know that we made, where he planted a forest. He was, when he became more successful, he was very proud to be able to contribute. He felt it was an honor. Believe it or not, I used to complain he gave too much. He said, I'm glad I can give it. He was a Boy Scout. Really, and a lot of the ideals of Eagle Scouts.
Sounds to me like he put his money where his mouth was.
That's right. That's right. He says, what do you need, another refrigerator? I says, why are you giving to Histadrut and to UJF and to all this? I says, in proportion to your income. He says, what do you need? He would say to me. I was certainly not the Jewish American princess.
He must have been a wonderful man.
Yeah.
Your husband spent many years in service.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said 30 years.
Well, you know, he lied about his age and enlisted in the National Guard when he was 16. And he was in the military up until he was 59, so it's a lot of years.
Did he ever mention that he ran into anti-Semitism?
Oh, yes.
While he was in the military?
Oh, yes.
Either overt or covert?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Did he mention any incidents that disturbed him?
It's funny, it was in the later years when you say he was made an honorary general, never served as a general. And that was even the Pennsylvania Reserve, I better get it right, ARCOM, there were a few men that didn't want to see him. They were jealous because at that time he was a very successful businessman. And they didn't want him to serve as a general. I mean, not that they could have put him in that place, but they didn't. And it made a difference in my pension, actually, you know, because he did get that was the most, and I remember the one time at in the army at a dance when one who had just made general was dancing with me, and he said, why don't you run away and leave your rich husband home? They sort of, at that time, he was a successful businessman, much when they were mostly employees. And there was a little bit of the rich Jew resentment.
We all ran into that from time to time.
Yeah, I think so.
You said that your husband and I think your father were in business together.
For a little while, yes.
For a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall when and what?
Yes. When we were married, my husband was a machinist, which is also unusual for a Jewish boy. He worked in the American Steel and Wire Company. And it was wartime in 1943. And he left there and he had enlisted in the Navy Yard, not enlisted, he volunteered to go work on submarines in the Navy Yard in Vallejo, California. He was all of 20 years old, you have to remember. And it was then he decided to come home and we should get married. But then he spent time in the Army. He left the Navy Yard and he was drafted. Or he enlisted before he was drafted, and he was in the Air Cadets. And then he became, we moved around a little bit, and we settled in, he went into the infantry. He cracked up a little plane somehow. He didn't make it in the Air Cadets. And in the infantry, we were at Fort Belvoir, and he was a very good instructor. He used to teach basic training, and he was really very good at that. And he also...
remember the cadre then?
Mm-hmm. He was a staff sergeant. And I had one child then, and he even actually stayed in an extra year. He loved the military. And when we came out of the military, I was expecting a second child, and we went back to Denora, which was my hometown and his 5 miles away, and my father offered him a job. No, a partnership, this was my father's word, that they went into, for my dad, it was a brand new business. My dad was an amazing man. At 64, he goes into a new business with my husband.
Which was?
Used heavy equipment. Bulldozers, high lifts, cherry pickers, parts. And they used to go to the Army surplus or the Army war surplus auction sales. That's how my husband learned the auction business. It's a very interesting story, and they used to go. And of course, my father had the money for the land to buy a yard in Denora. My husband didn't have, coming out of the Army and two kids, nor did he have a college education. And so he worked with my father, and they built up a business. Unfortunately, my dad would never put down on paper that my husband was a partner. He would give us money when it came time to build a house, to buy a house. And
everything was a handshake.
That's right. And my father had, I had two brothers and two sisters then. And after about 3 to 4 years, my husband realized, I think by that time, well, we had four children, but he was... never had anything, any real security in this business. And he left my father. Well, I didn't realize how traumatic it was for him because I see pictures how he lost weight. He was really upset. I was a pretty good manager. When you start with four children and you don't have a good source of income, it's a little bit scary, but I was good at that, it seems.
Did he at that time then decide he went to the auction business?
Well,
himself?
He decided he would buy and sell. He got involved with a Pittsburgh group who used to go to bankruptcies. And he was the worker because he never had enough money. He could have, you know what I mean? But he learned. He was a very quick learner. How things are done in buying and selling, and he also learned at going to the auctions how you conducted an auction sale.
And he became very expert at it.
Well, in his, we decided, it was really interesting, why did we move to Pittsburgh? It was much cheaper to live in Denora, but there was very little opportunity, and he knew he had these contacts in Pittsburgh. But the one thing I think that really pushed him when he went to the JCC, he loved basketball too, he said, you know, everybody there is Jewish. After living in Denora, it just, you know, it was very exciting to him, and he thought you have four kids and you want them to be Jewish and give them a Jewish education. This is what you do. And it's funny, when we moved into Pittsburgh on Melvin Street, we had sold our house in Denora, but I moved, with four children, I moved into a three-bedroom house because I figured this is what we could afford. And, you know, people look today, how do you do such a thing? Well, we were fortunate that slowly and with a lot of very hard work, the business, the auction business, grew. And it was funny, we were there 4 years, and my two boys were both over 6 feet tall in a small bedroom. And we did move to Beechwood Boulevard. That's a funny story, because when we did, my husband thought, boy, I've made it. It was a good size.
That was a high-end community.
It was a good size house, yes.
Let me ask you, is the company still existing?
Well, it's Harry Davis and Company now. This is what
is it, a corporation?
They're not incorporated, no. It's a business partnership with the two sons.
Oh, your two boys.
Right.
And are you involved in the business?
Unfortunately, that's a long story. I am not. I did help in the business originally. I used to handle registration, and I found it very exciting. And however, with the computer and the modern times, when I see what my sons have done, I just can't believe it. I mean, they have expanded. We are the biggest dairy auctioneers in the United States.
Dairy.
How we, my husband would, we would take, now we're industrial auctioneers. We're not clothing or jewelry. We're,
real estate.
Well, we've gone in a little bit to real estate, but actually machine shops, woodworking plants, heavy equipment used, because we did know that end very well. But, and slowly my sons worked in the business from the time they were 12 years old.
Is the company located all over the country?
Our office is in Pittsburgh, but in truth, we do very little in Pittsburgh.
I mean to say, do you have satellite offices throughout the
No, country? We don't have other offices. Today, with faxes and computers, you send your crew out. Oh. You know what I mean? You don't need an office.
We have. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a practical thing. Does your oldest grandson ever mention that he would like to join
the business? Well, that's
a
funny story too. My oldest grandson lives in Washington, D.C., and he's not been so much involved, but my son's son, the second oldest, I'll tell you about a family, not a fight, but this disagreement. He had become, in high school, quite a tennis player. Matter of fact, he was city champion, and his parents used to send him to tennis camp in the summer, and one summer he taught tennis, and I said to my son, I said, for God's sake, Stan, I said, you learned the business from the time you were 12 years old. I says, even if Lenny never uses it, it's an education. He says, really see how you conduct an auction sale, how you set one up, how you get the money in, all this, because I... And it wasn't until the last 2 years or 3 years that he has worked in the business, where we are now at the cream, we're at the top, and he hasn't seen all these years of struggling, and yes, he would like to be in the business.
Well, I guess you have to start from the bottom, really, to learn.
Well, that's been part of the there are two partners there, and my younger son says, Stan doesn't think Lenny should start at the bottom, which is... And it's interesting because my younger son has taken his daughter from the time she was about 13 in the summertime to auction sales to see how it works.
Is she interested?
Yes, she is. She is. Matter of fact, they joke, the two of them, Leonard and Katie, that they may go into business themselves.
Let me ask you, only because your description of your lifetime has been so varied, so interesting, and the fact that you're presently actively engaged in such important work. If you had to do this whole business over again, we'll say from the time that you were married until now, would you have done it differently, or would you?
Well, it's kind of funny that you ask such a question, and I don't know whether I should get very personal here. I think my mother used to say there should be two men for every woman born. So instead of the men getting everything, the women should be more involved and more needed. And I did go back to school. As I say, I married at 19. I went back to school when I was about 43, took 6 years and got a degree in teaching, and then never taught. because my husband, who was a wonderful guy but was basically a chauvinist, he says, what do you need to raise my income for? My income tax. And he also, I could go to school as long as everything kept the same at home. I used to have a lot of company at the holidays particularly. He loved it when I served a nice meal. You know, he was proud of that. And as long as that didn't change, it was okay to go to school. I did volunteer work after. I worked at the Crippled Children's Home, tutoring and things. But as I say, I got more involved in organizations. I'm losing my trend of thought. Oh, about what I should be doing. I do regret, I am a feminist, I do regret that I did not have a career of my own. I feel very strongly that every woman needs to have that feeling of independence, that she can go out in the world and earn a living. Not only earn a living, but when you have work of your own, you develop friendships that are not dependent on your husband or your children. You develop your own life. And I think, really, my husband died, I was 59. His friends were army people and tennis people, and we were young for our years. It was three younger couples that were all 10 years younger than we were. The younger couples, Jewish couples, each woman has a husband, and went back to work. So I, in certain ways, although I have my friends through organizations, did not develop more people or friends on my own. It's a very personal thing, but I kind of wished I had had that experience of having a career. Now, I had a career. I was a caretaker. My mother had a bad heart. I nursed her through many heart attacks in Denora. My father lived to 98. I took care of him when he was here, although he was in Riverview, but I was the one taking shopping, whatever. And my husband had cancer for 6 years, and I raised four children. Certainly I had a job, you know. But there, I think it's strictly my own inner feeling. I would have liked a career of some time.
There.
So what would I do differently? I'm not sure whether it would have worked out better or not.
Well, your accomplishments speak for themselves. Is there something else that you'd like to say that we haven't discussed?
No, except it just seems the one thing that's a little depressing to me is the world is so complicated today, and I am very concerned for my grandchildren. And there seem to be so many influences that parents have no control over. One of them is television. One of them is this world of affluence in which we live, that you lose your basic sense of value, and you think you need and you have to have this and that. And that's what's important, and we know that's not what's important.
Jean, it's been a great privilege to talk to you. On behalf of the National Council of Jewish Women, I thank you very much for your patience and for your time, and certainly for the very lovely way in which you presented your lifetime. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I've come to realize when I start to talk that I've really done more than I give myself credit for. I'm quite excited right now because I'm going on semester at sea, which is on a ship that goes around the world, and this will be my third trip, and I'm going with my grandson, and on this kind of a ship, there are 500 college students, 50 adults, and 20 professors and their wives. You audit courses, and we're going down to South America. We'll be at Carnival time in Brazil, and around to Cape Town, South Africa, and India, and Penang, and I have to leave early from Vietnam. I've been making arrangements to come back for my granddaughter's bat mitzvah. But I love the water, I love being with students, and I love studying, so I'm pretty excited about that.
You're taking the trip in the fall.
No, I'm going this February. They changed the date, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Spring 1997. Mm-hmm.
98.
Mm-hmm. How wonderful. Well, we wish you Godspeed and a great time.
Well,
I hope. And if you don't enjoy them, I know that they'll enjoy you.
Well, actually, I had organized the Friday Night Kiddush on that ship last time I was there. And you'd be surprised the Jewish children came and enjoyed it. I believe in being involved, you know.